This is the third episode of Wine, Dine, 69, and Mental Health. And our guest today is going to be... Hey, you can introduce yourself, actually, because I don't even know what you want to...
I'll just go by George.
All right. So, George. So, my question is today that I wanted to talk about is the difference between leadership in the workplace and in the home life. And I think this is important, especially with everything going on right now, because, well, I know how I grew up, and I know how a lot of people grew up, and they just talk about how their parents weren't very good at, like, accountability, or they weren't very good at expressing what they wanted exactly, but then they would get angry at things being done, quote-unquote, incorrectly. And I think that happens a lot in the workplace as well. So, as a dad, you know, I just want to know kind of what your take is, because you're a dad and a first class, so it gives you, you know, the leadership aspect in the workplace a lot more than a lot of us would have. So, what do you think?
So there's similarities. There's also, like, a lot of differences, right? Like, me talking to an 18, 19-year-old, telling them to do something, they're going to listen. Like, you try to tell your kid that, your kid just, like, yelling and screaming and just doing whatever they want to do. So it's a little frustrating because you got to understand, like, hey, how do you explain your child to do something that you want them to do without coming off as a total, like, asshole or anything like that? It did help when I was a leader, I guess, in Gitmo, of kind of understanding where people are coming from. Because I think you kind of got to do that with your children as well. So a one-year-old, a two-year-old who's running around screaming because they want something, if you're not able to, like, kind of sit back and, like, pay attention, like, what is this kid trying to explain to me that it can't because it doesn't know English, it was definitely kind of insightful. There's nothing that teaches you how to be a parent, like, and what is a good parent. Because, you know, some people turn out completely fine, and they have, like, really, really, really strict parents, and some people turn out to be even fine, and they have, like, the most liberal, loose, kind of do whatever you want to be a parent. It's kind of trying to find that balance. It's a little bit frustrating and kind of hard, but it's a pretty cool experience, I have to say. Just really kind of sitting back and kind of seeing what's going on. That's probably the most insightful thing. One of the most difficult things, I think, is, like, as a dad, like, I don't know about it as a mom, like, being a single parent is probably, like, the hardest job in the world. Like,
yeah.
I respect anybody that's doing it by themselves with no help at all. Because, like, I get to go to work and take a break, but then when I come back, like, I have to deal with the, like, whatever chaos is going on in the house. And then here it was a little bit easier because my commute from work to home was like 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, depending on traffic.
Yeah.
So I had time from like dealing with work stress and then being able to compress to be like, okay, I'm going home, I'm total dad mode. Whereas the last spot we were at, like, that wasn't it. Like, we drove, like, I literally drove 5 minutes and I was home, and it was just like I got thrown into this chaos. So
yeah.
That's just some things I've noticed.
Yeah.
As a dad, typically.
Yeah, so I've been actually volunteer coaching with this youth sports thing. And I know a lot about kids from the bottom up because of my little siblings. Obviously, I'm not a parent, and I can't say that I know exactly how it is to be a parent. However... being around these kids all the time, I have kind of, like, unlocked a new version of patience, within myself, because, you know, especially because this coaching thing, I have three different groups of kids. So I have got the 5 to 6 year olds, the 7 to 8 year olds and then the 9 to 12 year olds. So they're all very different. They have different different things that resonate with them when you're trying to teach them something. So it's kind of difficult trying to learn where to like stop and be like, okay, wait a minute. Like I can't be the same level of aggressive, quote unquote, right, aggressive as I can with the 9 to 12 year olds as I am like with the 5 to 6 year olds, because, you know, the 9 to 12 year olds are going to understand a little better, than, you know, a 5 year old. They're still pretty much a toddler. So, but I also noticed that I was very impatient, like in my workspace. We got a new check-in, and she's, you know, straight out of school and everything. And she would just ask me a lot of questions that I would be like, what? Like, are you really asking me that? But in my mind, you know, I'm seeing like an adult, and I'm like, I don't understand why she doesn't know the answer to that question.
Or know how to find it.
Yeah, exactly. But I also, you know, it take, and then I go and I talk to these kids and I realize that I have a lot more patience with these kids than I do with her, which I think that's also like a huge difference as far as, you know, being a leader in the workspace and being like in a parenting role of any sort. So I finally, you know, found my patience with the girl as well, because I realized, you know, I used to be in that position too. And, you know, people who lost their shit with me, I got mad at them because I was like, why? Well, I don't know any better. Like, why are you being mean? So I think that's a huge difference too. But I think mostly it's accountability and being like self-aware. Like,
yeah, that's a huge thing.
Why am I not getting the same response from this 20-year-old woman as I am from these 7-year-olds? Well, I need to find a different way to communicate to each of them. I can't use the same method of communication to everybody. So
that's with kids too. Like,
yeah,
just got people, you got to be able to get down to their level. And that was like a big thing that I learned at our last spot. Was just like, man, all these people are coming from different backgrounds, different type of styles, and like, you got to be able to connect on that ground level. And then kind of the human aspect, like, you're able to connect to someone and find out what motivates them. It doesn't even matter what your rank is or if you're really a leadership. It's just trying to find what they need and try to guide them into that direction. This is what you need. Here's what you can do to get there.
Yeah. What I find very frustrating as a junior is seeing higher ranking people who act like they don't know what it's like to be where we are. So like I said, I had to kind of like, I noticed that I was getting frustrated with this girl who was new, but then I realized, you know, like I was right where she is, you know, not too long ago, literally 3 years ago, I was exactly where she is.
You're able to remember where you came from.
Yeah.
Some people forget.
Yeah, and I find it extremely frustrating when I run into a leader that is acting like they don't know what that's like, and they kind of like almost act like you're incompetent because of it. And I think that there's like a huge disconnect, and it is part of the reason why I very much dislike the Navy. Because it's very rare to find somebody who is, like, humble when they get to, I don't know, I think E5 is where it starts, if I'm being honest. But
yeah,
it's hard.
You gotta understand, like, being a leader, like, defining those, at least from what I've noticed in the military, there's only about 3 or 4 awesome leaders that I ever met that I was just like, oh my God, like, you're on it. And the rest of the people that I had are more in that manager, because there's a difference. There's a difference between being a leader and a manager. And what I find mostly is that just kind of through the pipeline, keep the rank, you just kind of fill that role without ever, you know, honing your skill as a leader. Like, it's easy to manage, hey, I need to have these many people at this place at this time, but motivating them to do what you need them to do is a totally different aspect, which happens a lot in the military. You'll see more of these managers rather than these leaders in those spots. And that's just the nature of the business. We, at least in our branch of service, we don't really like promote like leadership. It's the same thing with parenting. Like, you don't really know how to parent until you're fucking thrown into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what do you find as the best way to motivate your sailors and the best way to motivate your child?
Well, my child specifically, if I start like talking about chocolate or apple juice, that's her, like, that's like her trigger stuff. Like, okay, I'll go do this. Incentive. Or I get, what I've noticed with my child specifically is that you got to give them a good 10 to 15 seconds, maybe 30 seconds to kind of process what you ask them. Because sometimes she's throwing a fit because she wants to get down. And I'm like, do you want to walk? And she'll tell me, yeah. And I'm like, well, you got to hold my hand if I let you walk. And she'll say, okay. And then she'll do it for a good 15, 30 seconds or maybe a couple minutes. And then she's like off running. And then you got to like, hey, I'm going to pick you up now. She starts screaming again. So it's kind of that nature. But with sailors and different people specifically, it could just be, it's so different and so wild across like the board. Like, I could have someone who completely messes up and I just talk to them like, hey, I'm disappointed, and their world would be wrecked for like the next 3 days. Whereas like, if I take another person and I talk to them like they're disappointed, they're not going to care. But I could just go off the handle and kind of raise my voice and be a little bit more aggressive, and they're kind of like, oh my God, I messed up, and they're wrecked for the next couple of days. So it's really about finding out how they are as an individual rather than like the rank or whatever it says on their chest.
Yeah, I do find that it just depends on the person. I think when people say like, well, one thing for me is like, I came from Gitmo and I was doing a lot of things out there. But when I came here, I wasn't exactly in any sort of mental state to maintain what I was doing there. And I kind of felt, you know, in a lot of ways that my leadership was questioning how I got like my eval, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of felt like they would question why I was complaining, why I didn't, you know, pick up rank and all other stuff. And it almost seemed like they were being like impatient with me, and you know, it still feels like that a lot of the time. Even though I've been honest with where I'm at mentally. And then after going, I did talk to a therapist, you know, telling them everything was going on, and she was like, well, how are you presenting it? She said, are you just presenting it as a problem? Like, are you just saying, I'm stuck in this situation and that's it? Or she said, are you presenting it as a problem with a solution? Like, I'm stuck in this situation, this is what I need, can you offer me this? And I was like, you know, I have not tried that. I have not.
that's a very wise advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's hard to try to fix a situation, but you don't know what you've tried to done to like, hey, this is my problem, this is what I tried to do, it's not working, do you have any other ideas? Mm-hmm. I think people are a lot more invested to buy in to help you. Rather than saying like, I don't know what I'm doing, I need help. Which, I mean, as a leader, you should be able to help with both. But a lot of people just don't understand it.
Yeah, I think that was where my expectation was with my leadership. I was kind of like, well, I've been communicating to them all these things that are going on with me, because it seemed to be like one thing after another since I got here. And I was like, somehow they're not just understanding that this is crazy to me. Like, all these things are happening to me constantly. Like, obviously, I'm going to be a little messed up. So I don't understand why they're pushing me so hard. But after I did tell them, like, so this is what's going on. And I'm just wondering if you can do this for me. And they said yes, which I was like, oh, wow, okay. But at the same time, I remember when I first got here and I did communicate, I was like, you know, I'm not in the mental state to do anything that requires too much focus. And they put me in this position where that's exactly what I need, which I was extremely frustrated with. And I find it hard to stay motivated. to continue to want to do my work or to continue wanting to do school and all other stuff. And while I know that there is 100 other things that could be causing that, I think a lot of it had to do with how much pressure they were putting on me as my leadership, knowing my circumstances. And I guess I want to know, like, in that situation, like have you ever found yourself in that situation, and what exactly did you try to do to figure out what you could do?
I think I've had a couple of those type of situations, and then each of them kind of got handled different. Like, it's rough having someone just get, like, brand new to your workspace, and you're just, like, saying, like, hey, I can't really focus on this stuff. Like, I need help.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, the first knee-jerk reaction I probably would have had was, like, well, you need to go to mental health. You need to get, like a handle on yourself. But top view down, like, when you see this happening and someone comes in and, like, they kind of just, I don't want to say, like, they don't want to work. They just can't work because whatever. Then you have an issue with the other guys in your workspace. Like, hey, this person just got here and they're not, like, doing anything. So I've had that happen to me. And you kind of just got to talk to people. Just like, hey, you know, different people go through different things. Like, you know, we're here to, like, help each other out. It's easier in the military to be able to do that just because that's how we are in an organization. Like, if you ever see if, like, anything really happens, we're like, shit, it's a fan. Like, the community rallies and kind of helps out, like, regardless of what it is. Someone's house burns down, they lose their stuff, everybody starts donating money.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the thing about it. Also, I've had someone who found out a life-changing thing for them. And they were getting ready to leave because of that life-changing thing. So I kind of just, like, hey, this is way more important than what's going on right now. Go handle your stuff. And then as a leader, I just had to manage everyone else's expectations. Like, hey, I'm letting this person go do this because they have to go do this. Like, mind your business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always... I always feel the need to over-explain myself to my coworkers because I feel like I don't want them to dislike me or hate me or be upset with the leaders just because of these things that they see as me getting a break or me getting some sort of relaxed expectations when that's not even the situation at all. I think it's hard to communicate that, though.
But at the same time, you could have came off as someone who just needed a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, there's some people that are just, like, functioning way above than their pay grade.
Yeah.
And they're not motivated to do anything. They're like, I don't want to do this. This is dumb. Like, where I was at in my last spot, I managed blah, 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 blah. I did all this stuff. And over here, I'm just checking people in. Like, so, yeah, situations are different. So, like, learning how to handle someone. Yeah, and sometimes maybe they put a little bit of pressure on you to see if that's kind of what you need. Maybe you needed something else to focus on rather than what's going on. Like, that's definitely a way to do it. I don't know if that's necessarily the right way to do it. But that could be something that they might have saw coming off of you, like, their perspective of what you were kind of going through. Like, I don't know your story, like, essentially what's happening. But,
yeah.
I'm kind of just playing devil advocate, really, for that one.
Yeah, I know. It's a crazy mess. But, I noticed that a lot of people end up going through a lot of things in I know recently, too, that during all this stuff that I have been having my issues with, I actually, my one of my leaders, they are also going through their own stuff, and they kind of were projecting it onto the workspace, because they just got, like, an attitude, which was extremely frustrating.
Yeah, because they're going through it, like...
Yeah.
People act out regardless of the rank, but it's a little bit more rough when that person's going through their higher rank and is taking it out on you guys.
Yeah, and I think... Because I also talk to my therapist about this, is that I always have, like, high expectations for people, even though sometimes they can't offer that. And I think... I expected him, like, as a leader to kind of not put his stuff aside, but to be more empathetic. And I feel like that's an expectation that is laid out, an unspoken expectation for all of you guys as leaders.
I mean, the same way, like, I expect my people to do what I would do for my people.
Yeah.
Kind of out, like, not that many people are willing to bend over backwards to try to help. They'll just do the bare minimum.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess that could be a two-way thing. I don't know. I feel like, I always feel like I'm alone in my thoughts sometimes. So it's like, I know I have high expectations for a lot of people, just because of the way I present myself, the way I carry myself. And I know, you know, I'm a good worker. I can work my ass off, you know. It's just, with everything, you know, that when things start to pile up, you know, it becomes different, and you kind of like not only have those expectations for other people, but you have those expectations for yourself. And then you see, you know, you're letting yourself down, so you think you're letting everybody else down, and it just kind of becomes heavier and heavier. And I don't know, it's hard to maintain my composure sometimes with the kids too, and I guess that's where I kind of stopped being upset with my leader, because I was like, these kids didn't do anything. Yeah, like, these kids didn't do anything to me, and I'm over here being irritated because they want to play duck duck goose instead of do what I'm telling them to do. Like I can't expect anything else, you know. So
that's the thing. I had to deal with that too. Like, I'm a very, like, high work ethic, like, let's get, like, stuff going. But you gotta understand, like, some people are just not built like that. And then like, having that expectation on a child is a little bit rough, because they're not gonna handle that. Like, your child's your child, and what they do and what they want to do, they're not you. They're totally different. They're not a mini me. They're their own individual.
Yeah.
And some things are just more important to them. Like, just like people that you work with, like, the military is not that important to them. Maybe, I don't know, surfing is more important. Like, you just gotta, and like, just people are not the same, not work ethic, not the same principles. Like, if that's the hardest thing that I had to get over with. It's just like, bro, like, why do you want to do this work? Like, let's get this work and get it over with. And some people are just not like that.
Yeah. Also, there's a... So, I think this is funny, too. So, when I got here, I met this one first class. She was just letting me know, you know, like, oh, yeah, you can come and talk to me if you need anything. And then, you know, she kind of shared a little bit about herself. And... when I was talking to her, she was kind of like, oh, yeah, I've stayed in all this time, you know, so that I can help people. She was like, I really don't like it. She was like, I don't like being here. But she was like, you know, I just want to stay in and be able to help the people who went through what I did. Now, I feel like I hear that from a lot of people. But I feel like, in a way, it's kind of a bullshit answer. And there's two reasons why I think that. For one, like, being able to see, you know, everything I've gone through in the military, and then seeing the people who have helped me the most with the stuff that I've gone through, most of them have been civilians. They were able to do more for me than anyone in the military is. And the second thing is that when I would speak to her about the things that I was going through, it was almost like she was very desensitized to it. And I feel like that's very common amongst leaders, especially female leaders, I notice. Is that they kind of like use that reasoning. Like they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm here to help people. And then you try to get help and then they're like, yeah, you just gotta get over it, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, like, you gotta be able to be, like, stoic, I guess is probably the best way, whenever someone kind of brings you a problem mm-hmm. or something they're going through. Because, like, what you tell me and how I react or don't react
yeah.
is going to be judged, right? Yeah. Any problem that you have, you come to me, if I'm not, if I overreact, I'm going to be like, well, I'm never going to talk to him again. Like, he totally overreacted. Or, hey, I was telling him this in confidence, and he ended up throwing the whole chain of command. And
yeah.
now, like, it's all gotten worse. Or I told him, and he seemed like he didn't care, or she didn't care.
Yeah.
Right? So it's hard as a leader to be there when someone comes in. And I think the easiest way to do it is to be stoic. But even then, like, some people are just not going to be on the same, like, wavelength as you. Because you can totally bring a situation and have different reactions from your leadership. And that's why I try to, like, every time I talk to my guys, I'm just like, hey, man, let me know the person you're kind of talking to. Like, are you talking to me as a leadership? Are you talking to me as a mentor? Are you talking to me as, you know, hey, I just want to get this off my chest? Are you talking to me as a provider? Like, so, that's very hard as a leader to try to do. Yeah, like, even as a parent, like, what if you have, like, an eating disorder, or my child, God forbid, has an eating disorder, and then she comes to tell me, and I don't react the way she thinks I should react. And it's, like, that's going to damage her. It's like, oh, maybe he doesn't care, maybe he cares too much, maybe he's going overboard, maybe it's not that big of an issue. So that's very hard as a leader. Staying in to, like, help those people, I get it. I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the only reason. But I can get that perspective. Like, I totally miss all my junior guys. 100%. Like, I have no junior corpsmen, and I wish I can't wait to go back to a command where I have a bunch of junior guys that I can, like, help mentor and talk to and just BS with, essentially.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's hard. That's a hard spot to be in as a leader. And you're going to be judged regardless of what you do. Just like as a parent, you're going to be judged on how you handle a situation. Because your child or that sailor is their own individual, their own thoughts, their own feelings. So, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, I think part of my frustration with it is my own parents. You know, they were very dismissive with my problems, and I just find it, you know, I find that it's kind of like the same in the military, and I think there's obviously a reason behind that that's way bigger than either of us, that, you know, it's just to me, it's a big machine, and, you know, we're in, we're out. We're pawns, you know. I don't see it as...
Oh, yeah, we're definitely just a number. Like...
Yeah.
For sure.
Like,
That's kind of what sucks about it, but, yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I haven't even been in as long as you, but I am done. I'm ready to dip skis, because it's just, I don't find myself making the difference that I want to make stuck in the situation, because I have parameters, you know, like, and I was telling my therapist, you know, like the reason I haven't said what you're telling me to say, or the format you're telling me to say it in, is because I fear the repercussions. I fear that they might try to twist it into something that it isn't, you know, and I think it's vice versa, you know, the leaders are also scared to say something that will be too personal,
yeah,
or something that will cross the line, you know, and
100%.
And so,
at least from, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that also happens, you know, with parents, like, just like you said, like, you know, if you overreact, then they're going to be like, oh my God, I'm never going to tell dad anything ever again. Or if you are kind of like, oh, okay. Then, you know, they might also be like, okay, I'm never telling dad ever again. So, it's kind of like very spotty. So I don't know. I just kind of wonder, like, because I want to get out and I want to be able to help people who've gone through the same situations. And I feel like the only way to really help is through, like, information, education, you know, like, this is what I had to deal with, and this was kind of how I had to deal with it. And while my situations aren't the same as everyone's, I am finding that they're a lot more common than I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely hard to find the sweet spot, you know?
I'd say get out and get what you want, honestly. If you know what you want to do, and you're like, I have this plan, I'm going to do it, I say full send it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, in a lot of...
helps you get to your foundation and then go. Like, everybody gets out. So, like, any leader who gets frustrated you're getting out after one contract or another contract, that's ridiculous. Like, you're here to do your job, do it well, serve honorably, get what you can get while you're in, and continue with life. Everybody gets out.
Yeah, I find mostly... I'm trying so hard not to be, like, stereotypical, but from my experience, you know, I find mostly it's high-ranking men, I'm gonna say E7 and above, that try to like, connect, but at the same time, they're also, like, telling you, like, that this is the best thing ever at the same time, so they'll be like, oh, you want to get out? Well, I mean, you could do that, but it's like, no, don't butt me. Like,
so I think that's coming from a place of like I've seen people already get out and they're struggling on the outside.
Yeah,
like, if they're trying to be cautious in the way they do it, but the way it's not what they're doing, it's how they're doing it that really comes off.
Yeah,
wrong. And also, like, I'm not going to waste my breath on someone who I don't think is good for the military. Like, if I think you're, like, solid and, like, you're like, oh, man, like, I can't wait for you to pick up this rank or that rank, or I can't wait for you to be the LPO. Like, I may even be like, man, are you sure you want to get out? Like, you sure this is what you want to do? Like, I'm going to support you 100%, but, like, you're kind of what this system needs to change the culture. So,
yeah.
I can totally see that aspect of it, too, but you got to read your audience, like, if old girl, old boy wants to get out. Like, I mean, gotta let them do what they do. They're adults.
Stay in. Don't go. And I think, I don't know. I feel like, in a way, like, trying to convince somebody to do something, and this goes for parenting too. Like, a lot of parents will try and force, like, oh, you have to be a doctor. You cannot be a singer. You cannot be a dancer. I think a lot of it comes from fear. You know, like I think a lot of those high-ranking leaders, they joined when they were, what, 18 to 20, and that this has been their entire life. And so they're almost like, they're conditioned, and they're essentially brainwashed in a certain way. Not saying they're, like, you know. But I feel like, after being in something that long, I feel like it kind of goes, like, the same way with, like, marriage or being, like, a child, right? You know, after a certain point, you're so used to something that you don't see any... You can't... It's hard for you to see the other side of things, so...
I'm becoming indoctrinated.
Yeah, like...
Indoctrinated. I'm sorry, not indoctrinated.
Yeah. Like, being...
Crystallized to the organization.
Yeah, like, a lot of men and women are afraid of, like, divorce, right? Because they're like, oh, well, what's left for me on the other side? I got to start all over. I got to get to know somebody. I got to talk to them. I got to go on dates with them. I got to
be a statistic.
Yeah, like, you know, and it's just kind of like, there's, like, this fear of what's on the other side rather than trying to understand the benefits and cons of both sides. And I think that's where it comes from those high-ranking leaders. They can't see any other life for themselves, so why are they going to see it for somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Which is understandable. Definitely, like, I see a lot of veterans that are not treated well whatsoever. I do remember the three whole days of patient care in my entire corpsman career that I did at the end of core school in the ER at the VA in Texas. And while I'd like to think that I delivered the best care I could at the time, I can see how they were, you know, they were how they were treated there.
Yeah.
And it's understandable to be like, oh my god, yeah. Yeah, why would I want to put myself in this situation ever? And I think that's the same with parents, you know. They see these singers and celebrities and whatever else, you know, going through all this, all these rumors on Facebook or all this bashing that they go through and everything, and they're like, oh, I never want my kid to go through that, so I'm going to tell them to do something more secure where their name isn't on a billboard, you know?
Yeah, well, like, coming from immigrant parents, like, my parents always wanted me to go be a doctor or go work, you know, a nice job where you wear a suit and you had an office, whereas because they were out there, you know, getting it in, grinding and working those hard jobs, so, and I think some people just want to live vicariously, like, people are like, oh, I want them to be a lawyer or a doctor because I've had to struggle so much, and that's their main driving force. They don't want their kids to struggle. Yeah. But at the end of the day, your kid's going to want to do what they want to do, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You can send your kid to the best school, pay for their whole education, pay for the college, and they, like, decide, like, hey, I just want to be a tattooer. It's like, nothing wrong with doing being an artist and tattoo, but that's what they want to do. They don't want to, you know, be in a suit and tie. You just gotta guide them.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's why, you know, I try to talk to a lot of leaders. I try to get, like, multiple perspectives from multiple people. I still text, you know, Chris. I'll be like, hey, what am I supposed to be looking for on this? Like, you know, I was asking him about ribbons the other day for my NSUs. Like, you know, it's just, even though I had, you know, my second classes all over the place, you know, I could have asked one of them, but I just like to ask numerous people because of the way they present it.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you reach back because, like, when you're in charge of, like, 60-some people and you're giving them 110% of, like, trying to, like, help them grow, and then once they PCS and you never, like, really hear about it, I'm not saying it sucks, but it's kind of like, damn, man, I hope they're doing it. And then when they reach back to you for mentorship, it's just like, okay, I was doing the right thing. I did right by this person because they feel comfortable to reach back and shoot me a text like, hey, like, I'm going through this. What do you think? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You always hear about, like, the crappy shitty leadership, but you never hear about the good ones.
That's fair. Well,
you know, just, oh, I hate this person. This person sucks. This is the worst you've ever had.
Yeah.
But then it's just never like, oh, I really appreciated this guy for what he did for me. And yeah, like, you always hear about the shitty ones, you never hear about the good ones.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty fair. I haven't heard many of my peers talk about their good leaders. We do have a great chief, though. She's pretty awesome. It's hard. I think it's hard to kind of, like, because there's a lot more bad than good, you know what I mean? And I think it's kind of like you don't want to see those few, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's like, you know, with this new check-in, she came in and she's talking about how she wants to go to school and she wants to do this and whatever, and I'm just thinking, like, oh my god, she's making all the mistakes that I made, right? I joined to go to school, you know, and I joined also to be a corpsman because I wanted to be a surgeon in the long run, and after some time I realized that is exactly what I didn't want to do in the first place, but also that I have not had any experience whatsoever in being a corpsman. I like I said, I had those 3 days that one time, I have run into situations where I've had to use my medical expertise, you know, for what it's worth. But it's like, she's an LS though, so it's a little different. However,
I mean, she's a chief.
Yeah, that's true. But she joined to go to school, and people were telling her, like, in my workspace, they're telling her what to do, right? They're in here, they're saying, like, hey, go do this, go do that.
Oh, my phone, I thought you were talking about your teeth.
No. The new check-in, no, it's okay. But yeah, so, and I was telling her, I'm like, first of all, like, you need to do your research on everything that they tell you. First of all. Do your own research, you know, like, make sure that you're looking at things for what you want to do. And then, you know, but it's also hard, too, because she's not a U.S. citizen yet or something. I don't know, however that works.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she still has to do some stuff that she can't even, like, you know, do half the things that they're telling her to do. But it's kind of like it's a lot of guys. They all just come on really strong telling her, like, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I find that's kind of like what was going on with me when I first joined too. And I'm trying to find the best way to communicate to her without overwhelming her with telling her what to do. But
have you ever just asked her what she wanted?
Yeah, but she just kind of just says she doesn't know. There's a little bit of a language barrier. So I do try my best, you know, to use the little bit of Spanish that I know. but it's kind of hard to ask her that, if that makes sense. Like, I've asked her, like, hey, like, what are you interested in? What do you want to do in the long run? She was like, I don't know. I went to school for 2 years, joined the military. Here I am. Like,
yeah, I definitely had a couple of those. So,
yeah,
I think with those, like those type of individuals, you kind of just got to teach them about the Navy and set them up for success in the military because yeah. They don't know what they want to do. Yeah. And they're already in a job where they can succeed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they already have a career, as long as they don't, like, do something, like, really dumb. And then, yeah, like, not everybody that comes in... All right, first of all, everyone who comes in the military does not mean to be, like, a shitbag. No one joins the military and be like, I'm the worst person. I want to be the worst person as well.
Yeah.
No one ever joins it, but a lot of people join it because they're lost. Like, you're not getting the, you know... pro athlete or, you know, crazy high GPA individual that had all these offers at these different colleges, and they're like, oh, I'm just going to go enlist, right? You're not getting those.
Yeah, right.
The majority of the individuals that you get, at least for the Navy, from what I've seen, it is like people that were just kind of lost. They're just like, I was home. I was not doing what I wanted to do. I didn't have enough money to do what I wanted to do, but I needed to get out. Yeah. I needed to leave. And that's the majority of the people that you're going to deal with is just people that were just lost, needs to get out and get away, and then they end up going to the military and they're still trying to figure out life.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to keep, you know, just sticking around, making sure that she, you know, knows that I can help her. But I do fear that I will kind of, like, push things onto her subconsciously, if that makes sense. I think that's what a lot of leaders do. You know, they just kind of, like, they don't, like we said before, you know, they're just so used to one thing that they don't want to see the other side of something. And that's kind of, like, I guess how it is for me. It's just, like, I just don't understand, you know, in the short amount of time that I've been in the military, how I could have gone through so much with the military. And somehow I am having a hard time seeing that there are women in the military that do just fine. You know, there's women that don't experience any of the things that I've experienced in their entire career. And I think it's hard for me to kind of see that side of it when, you know, it's very possible. So
yeah, and that's all, it's all really perspective. Like that's your perspective, and that's kind of what you went through.
Yeah.
And experience, like, I mean, as a leader, if I had approached you, like, say you're talking about like this LS girl, right? So mm-hmm. if you're too wrong, she may think one or two things. Either why is always riding on me, is always giving me, or why is she giving me a hard time, or the complete opposite. She's like, oh, she's really pushing me, she's really like helping me get through life. And that's probably the hardest part of leadership, is trying to find that balance of like helping you but not suffocating you. I guess that makes sense. So
yeah,
being a woman in the military is extremely hard. Like that's rough. Like especially like women, and then having a woman leadership, like, oh my goodness, like I feel like women leaders are harder on, you know, like sailors than guys.
Like, for sure.
But I think it's just, they're just trying to push you and trying to make you better, but again, it comes off as just too aggressive.
Yeah, and I think it's also just because they've kind of gotten to a point where it's like, I went through it, why can't you just deal with it?
Like the shared hardship.
I definitely saw that with like my own mother, you know, like whenever I would express something to her, she would kind of be like, oh well,
I went through it,
I did it, you know, think you're the only one, like, and it's like, no, but that doesn't invalidate, you know, my feelings.
And
I think that's super important too. And I actually have one of the guys in our department, he's in ACFL. Oh boy. He's a good dude. But he just does really hard shit that it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't even know how did you think that this was like okay to do? Like, one day, we did, he said he called it 30 for 30, or 30 to 30 or something. It was 30 squats per minute for 30 minutes. That's what he called it. We got to round 9, and even he was struggling. And after that, we only got to round 9, and he said stop. And then he was like, go to the track. And this track is, it's not like a normal, you know, size track. It's not a quarter mile around. It's longer than that. And he was like, now we're going to lunge around the track.
Oh, my God.
And then he had us, after the lunges, he had us sprint. And I was like, okay, first of all, what?
Relax, yo.
And then a lot of the time he has us do like half Murphs, which, I mean, completely understandable. Like, if he's able to do that, I think that's great. But when
but not everyone is. It's like, it's knowing your audience. Right?
Yeah, when I talk to my other coworkers, two of them, one's a female, one's a male. They both were like kind of saying like, you can't just jump into hard workouts and expect to get in shape, you know?
Yeah, you got to fill people up.
Yeah, but then it comes back, you know, like, because I've never been, like, a skinny person ever. So, when I'm communicating that this, you know, like, this stuff is difficult, you know, they're like, oh, you have to be a PT, you have to do this, you have to do that. Like, it's like, okay, so I'm trying here, I'm struggling here, you guys can see me struggling here, but you're still making me do this without any sort of process reform.
It's death. Like, you need to build people up.
Yeah, and I find that being another thing that's difficult to communicate, and it's just because like they're like, their reasoning is kind of like, oh well, we're in the military. Did you forget we're in the military?
Yeah, you're in the military. You're supposed to continue.
Yeah, and it's like yeah, but it's like a lot of people don't walk around doing half Murphs every day or every 2 days.
Like the ACFL, like create a program, everyone get a good sweat in. Like, you're not a personal trainer, my guy. Just sit down, relax.
Yeah.
Everyone gets a nice sweat in. Know your audience.
Yeah, and you know, I would completely understand if we were, like, at the end of FMTB and it was, like, field, or not field day, but, like, some sort of Captain's Cup kind of thing, maybe. But, yeah, it gets a little crazy, you know, and it's hard to communicate where my limits are, too, because it's, like, they just kind of see these, I mean, these standards are based off of, how old are these standards? I don't even know, but, like, these standards are based off of unrealistic, yeah, completely unrealistic bodies, you know, and I absolutely hate, I'm just gonna be honest, I absolutely hate being viewed as, like, fat, you know what I mean? Like, because, you know, I'm strong, I can do a lot of things, but it's, like, it kind of makes me, like, look bad, quote-unquote, in a way, because of the fact that I can't keep up at PT or whatever, so it's, like,
and that's a big thing with the military. Like, it's very, just because you look a certain way doesn't mean you're a good leader, right?
Yeah.
Just because outstanding PT scores means you're a good leader or a good warfighter. Like, there's plenty of people that don't look that mold, but you want them in a dogfight with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, that's for sure.
Take it up for me.
Yeah, and I wish that there was, you know, again, this is another one of those things that's kind of, like, running into a barrier because I can't do anything about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not an ACFL. I have communicated that the workouts are difficult for me and that I would like to do something to build myself up. But it's just kind of like his answer is always like, just do it. Like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like they want me to do pull-ups by all means. Like, it's like, okay. So they usually put this tire, and they put the big tire, and they have us do this jump and then slowly come down.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's a way to build up your pull-ups, I mean.
Yeah, and, but it's like, when I asked him, I was like, how can I get better at doing pull-ups? He's like, just do them. I'm like, what?
Thanks, my guy.
Like, it's not working, obviously.
I unlocked the secrets.
Yeah, and one time we ended up doing PT in the gym, and he was having us do these box jumps. I had never done that shit in my fucking life, and he slides over that 24-inch box thing, and I was like, you want me to what?
What's up your shins, yo?
Yeah, and so it was just kind of like, it's like, you know, and again, I can't do anything about it, really. You know, I can say, you know, this is hard. I can't do this. This is out of my parameter. I was terrified, if I'm being honest, especially of the jumps, because, like, I was scared of falling on my ass or my face, obviously.
I mean, you can go to a CrossFit gym and they'll even modify it so you can do it. So, like, I don't understand why you can't do that. It's an ACFL for a certain program. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Maybe someday. Maybe someday I can convince him to tone it down a little bit. Relax, homie, relax.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Because I know when I was pretty much PTing my guys, like, I kind of gave them, like, hey, this is what you can do. If you can't do this, you do this. If you can't do this, you can't do this. But I always try to emphasize, it's like, hey, I just need you to move in this a lot of time.
Yeah, and... like, that is probably the best way to go about it. Like, I find myself, you know, like, when we did those stations for command PT, doing all those squats and shit, that shit was hard. But, like, that was something that was, like, it was good. It was a good workout, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's something that's much more effective. We did play Ultimate Frisbee one time where it was only three people on each team. So there was a shit ton of running. That was a great game, too.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, there's things, but, you know, it's like I got to find a way to come across where this guy understands.
Yeah, and you always got to understand, like, what, like, junior guys don't really notice is that, like, this is kind of the first time for everyone. Like, this could be the first time this guy's being an ACFL, so what he knows he's trying to do. It could be the first time this person's putting a leadership billet and they're trying to do what they know what to do or what they've seen work. So the same thing with parents. Like, this is the first time I'm being a parent. Like, this is what I'm going to do. Hopefully it works out. So a lot of time, the junior guys don't really cut you any slack. And I mean, first of all, as a junior sailor or whatever, you're entitled to the best leadership. I don't care what anyone says, you deserve the best leadership, hands down. Like, for 100%, you deserve the best. Yeah. But you also understand, like, these guys are still learning. Everybody's learning. Everyone's always in a billet they never did before, unless you're, like, a tech, where you're like, oh, I'm just a search tech, I cut, I mean, whatever. But, like, for the general, everybody else is like, it's the first time being an LPO. It's the first time they're being the chief of whatever. So, like, sometimes you gotta kind of take a step back and be like, okay, I get it, you're trying to do the best that you're doing, but, you know, some people just can't live up to it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's pretty... Yeah, I feel like now I have a little better understanding of how, you know, the leadership sees things. Mm-hmm. I think it also helps that, you know, this new check-in and all of these things I'm doing outside of work that help me better my own, you know, process. So hopefully we can...
And you also got to find things, like, outside of work to better yourself as a person.
Yeah.
Like, Navy or military 100% of the time, or else you're going to go crazy. Or you just feel like that and you're just a weirdo. Like, no way.
There's
like,
a lot of those, too.
Yeah, personal soul-searching, personal growth with you as an individual.
Yeah, I'm still working on it, but I think it's, you know... Gotta slow down and look at it like one step at a time instead of trying to take it all on at once. And I think that's what I was doing for a lot of the time, which caused me to be very overwhelmed and a little more angry at my leadership than I actually needed to be. So I think that was a part of it too. But now things are a lot, I'm not gonna say easier, but they're hopefully
you kind of learn how the system works, how the game's played for the most part.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm just looking to, you know, get everything out of the Navy that I can in the time I have left so that I can, you know, get out, be ready for the civilian life so I can come back in hopefully a better position to make a difference. You know?
Yeah.
So we will see how that goes. All right, so that's pretty much it. We're concluding this episode. I actually forgot we were even making a podcast episode, to be honest. good talk. But yeah, thank you for joining me today, and I appreciate you sharing your perspective, and hopefully people can also listen to this and learn a little more about both sides. I feel like it's going to be pretty helpful in some ways.
Cool. You know, I'm always rooting for you.
Appreciate it.